Welcome to the Animorphs Hour on KDUP 1580 AM or kdup.up.edu. If you want to call us tonight, the number is 503-943-7121, so we're expecting some callers. Anyways, let's begin with Book 1, The Invasion by K.A. Applegate.
Okay, do you want to do voices or intro?
I think I'll do the...
Narrator.
Text. All
right. I'll do narrator. All
right. Chapter 1.
My name is Jake. That's my first name, obviously. I can't tell you my last name. It would be too dangerous. The controllers are everywhere. Everywhere. And if they knew my full name, they would find me and my friends. And then, well, let's just say I don't want them to find me. What they do to people who resist them is too horrible to think about. I won't even tell you where I live. You'll just have to trust me that it is a real place, a real town. It may even be your town. I'm writing this all down so that more people will learn the truth. Maybe then, somehow, the human race can survive until the Andalites return and rescue us, as they promised they would. Maybe. My life used to be pretty normal. Sorry, Kyle's talking to his brother in the background. Good job there, Tim. Way to be a loyal listener. Maybe. My life used to be pretty normal. Normal, that is, until one Friday night at the mall. I was there with Marco, my best friend. We were playing video games and hanging out at this cool store that sells comic books and stuff. The usual. Mark and I had run out of the quarters from... Mark and I had run out of quarters for the games, right when he was ahead by a lot of points. Mostly, we're equally good at games. I have Sega at home, so I get lots of practice time in.
Sega.
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you who don't notice, CJ's got this huge grin on his face, and it comes out in his voice. He's
I'm like this! I'm so excited!
Oh, and for the record, Tim, you can call the number that we give online, because when my cell phone goes off in the middle of a show, it's kind of scary. Just so you know. Okay, moving on.
Extension 7121, by the way.
7121. By the way, this is KDUP, the sound of Portland. I like that.
Ish.
University of. Anyways. So sometimes he beats me. Wow, that's a fun one to come back in.
Wow. All
right.
Or maybe I just wasn't concentrating. By the way, so sometimes he beats me. That was in the book. Anyways, or maybe I just wasn't concentrating very well. I'd had kind of a bad day at school. I tried out for the basketball team, and I didn't make the cut. It was like no big deal, really.
Yes! You said it!
It was like no big deal, really. Except that Tom, he's my bigger brother, he was this total legend on the junior high basketball team. Now he's the main scorer for the high school team, so everyone expected me to make the team easy. Only, I didn't. Like I said, no big thing. But it was on my mind just the same. Sorry, I lost my place.
CJ does that a lot.
Well, Kyle's doing something over here. It was no big deal, really, except that Tommy's my bigger brother. Now he's the main scorer for the high school. Only I did. Okay, like I said, no big deal. But it was on my mind just the same.
Ooh, we have a call
coming in. How do we do
this?
Wow,
this is really awkward.
We hit the phone button.
Okay.
Hi, you're on KDUP, the sound of Portland.
Yeah, it's a dial tone. I think you hung up on him.
I did not. Yes!
Anyway, okay, moving on.
Try again.
For those listening, we are working out some bugs, so don't get discouraged, because the rest of the series is going to be awesome.
Awesome. It still is awesome.
Well, yeah. But anyways. They don't know that yet.
Yeah.
This is by far our favorite book.
Join the Facebook club.
Yeah, the Facebook club is on. And you can email us suggestions about how crappy we are if you really want to.
At animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
Ooh, we have a webpage?
No, we have an email.
Okay, moving on.
Working on a webpage.
Well, anyway, we were out of money and getting ready to head home when we ran into Tobias. Tobias was, I mean, I guess he still is kind of a strange guy. He was in...
Foreshadow.
He was anew at school. There,
typo.
Sorry, we get excited.
It does say he was anew at school. So if you want to make some fun of somebody now, like that you don't like or something, because or your friends, you could say, dude, you're such a noob.
No, no, you can't.
Okay, all right, let's get this right. Try not to hang up. Okay. All right, go.
Hold on.
Hello, you're on KDUP.
Adam Morse.
No! If this is Kelly Nelson, I'm going to be so upset with you, dude. So upset.
Wow. All right.
One of our buddies refuses to be excited about this show, and he's calling in and hanging up.
If you're calling in, we're going to pick up the normal phone this time and try that.
No, if you pick up the normal phone, they can't hear you on the air.
Well, exactly. That's okay. We don't want them hanging up anymore.
All right. Anyways. This time you push the button first, and then I'll push the button.
All right, okay. Let's go.
That's all what right. we did last time. Anyways, I actually met Tobias when he had his head in a toilet.
Dude, seriously, every time they introduce Tobias as a character, it's, I found him when his head was in a toilet. How would you like to be that guy?
Tobias was always being thrown around.
We need to be taking down the number of times she uses Lanced, because when there's free giveaways and stuff, we might have trivias.
Yeah,
and so if you know how many times she's used the word lanced, because she uses it a lot. Not yet.
Obviously. But also Star Trek references?
Star Trek references would be good. Yes.
And do we want to keep track of pity points for Tobias?
Ooh, pity points. Pity points. And awkward moments.
Awkward moments.
Whoa. Awkward if you
we should call them the Kyle awkward moments or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy. Anyway, we got to get done with at least one chapter.
I know. I actually met Tobias when he had his head in a toilet. Tobias.
That's a point for Tobias.
Okay, there were these two big guys holding him down and laughing while they flushed, sending Tobias's straggly blonde hair swirling around in the bowl.
He's got straggly blonde
rotational fluids. I told the two creeps to step off. Step off! Yes! School of Rock reference. And ever since then, Tobias figured I was his friend.
What's up?
Tobias asked. I shrugged.
Not much. We're heading home. Out of quarters.
Marco commented.
Certain people keep forgetting that the sleaze troll shows up right after you cross the Nether Ford.
Fjord.
So certain people keep losing the game and losing our quarter.
Marco kept jerking his thumb at me just in case Tobias couldn't figure out who he meant by
certain people.
Or you, readers.
So, maybe I'll walk home with you guys.
Tobias said. I said, sure. Why not?
It's more of maybe I'll walk home with you guys.
You know what? I'm going to give Tobias a cool voice, because cool people can have their heads flushed, too.
I'm going to tell it this time again.
Why'd you... Okay.
That was DJ Optimus trying to hedge in on our show.
Okay. Brilliant. Anyways, I said, sure, why not? We were heading for the exit when I spotted Rachel and Cassie. Rachel is kind of pretty, I guess. I mean, okay, she's very pretty. Although, since she's... Plot twist! My cousin. I didn't really think about her that way. Awkward. She has blonde hair and blue eyes. And that kind of very clean, very wholesome look.
How do you look wholesome?
I don't know.
Like a round face and glowing cheeks? Because I think I got that.
I think she was in the middle
of
a week.
You are not wholesome. People with glasses can't be wholesome.
I think she was in the I think she was in the middle of a week bagel.
Ooh, okay.
What?
No, I got gotcha. You.
It's wholesome.
It clicks kind
of. She has to go to the bathroom afterwards. She's one of those people who always knows the right clothes to wear and how she to look like they just walked out of one of those fashion magazines girls like. She's also very... We're not stereotyping girls. This is... Oh, shoot. We didn't have Mike's disclaimer. Oh,
we'll put it in.
She's also
end.
Very graceful because she takes gymnastics, even though she says she's too tall to ever be really good at it. Casey is sort of the opposite.
Cassie.
Way to go, guy.
Yeah, it's Cassie. It's on.
You don't want him on.
Play the sappy music.
Yeah, listen to that. You hear that?
I don't hear it.
Never mind.
We can turn one of these off.
I can't hear anything.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, Cassie is sort of opposite. For one thing, she's usually wearing jeans and a plaid shirt, or something else real casual. She's black and wears her hair very short most of the time.
Okay, we have to pause. I know we've been pausing a lot, but this is one of the few moments that they even try to touch this with a 10-foot pole. They never, almost ever again say that Cassie is black.
And also, Marco is dark. He's never actually given any sort of an ethnicity other than dark.
Right. It's ambiguous.
So what we're basically trying to say is how, you know, political correctness has invaded children's books.
Yeah, seriously. Children. Anyway, continuing.
She had it long for a while, but then she went back to short, which I like.
Oh, yeah.
Cassie,
by the way,
is quiet.
There's a thing there.
You'll find out. Cassie is quieter than Rachel, more peaceful. Like, she always understands everything on some different, more mystical level.
That's a mystical level for those of you at home.
Mystical. I'm a mystical level 7.
Oh, dear. You know they're listening.
I guess you could say I kind of like Cassie. Sometimes we sit together on the bus, even though I never know what to say to her.
Dude, that's an awkward moment.
That's like...
No, that's not awkward. That's just awkward.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, awkward's, you know, the hawk thing.
And but by the way, if you're trying to, you know, like, win a trivia thing, you can't look at Matthew Tongue's hand because he'll give it away.
Yeah, he's writing it there.
I didn't bring any paper.
I guess you could say I kind of... Oh, we already said that.
You guys going home?
I asked Rachel.
You shouldn't go through the construction site by yourselves. I mean, being girls and all.
That was a mistake.
Oh, it's going to be hard to do the girls' voices with a straight face.
That was a mistake. I should never have suggested to Rachel that she's weak or helpless. Kind of like, you know, Kathleen Stein.
What?
Cameo. Just
she might be listening.
She might be. She should. Anyways, if you see Kathleen Stein or her brother, tell them to tune in to KDUP 1580. I'm shutting up. Rachel may look like Little Miss Teen Model or whatever, but she thinks she's Storm from the X-Men.
Are you going to come and protect us, you big, strong man? Hold on. No, hold on. I screwed up. The time that I did a girl's voice, that was Jake.
Rachel something.
Hey,
All right, we're going to hang up on somebody. All right.
Hello? Good Lord, it is Kelly.
Oh, you.
Oh, Kelly.
No, it's fine. It's fine. He didn't hang up.
Yeah, right. We've had 2 phone calls, and nobody's... Okay, I'm hanging up.
We got... If you want to call again, go ahead, because we screwed up again. It's fine.
Okay.
Someday, we'll be able to put you on.
Okay, you try calling back, eventually. And we'll try this phone thing. Oh, you're lame. Okay, we'll tell Mike to call in. Okay, fine.
All right, let's get back to the story. It's a radio drama, not a let's talk on the phone.
That was
and
a
listen
radio
in.
Drama. There was much tension between Kelly and myself.
But
Kelly's
no
going to sleep.
In the book.
Okay.
Tension.
There's
continuing.
Tension in this scene.
You keep ruining it. Kyle. Now there's tension in this scene.
Kyle.
You think we're helpless just because I'd appreciate it if... I'd appreciate it if they did walk with us.
Cassie interrupted.
I know you're not afraid of anything, Rachel, but I guess I am.
Rachel couldn't say much about that. That's the way Cassie is. She always has the right words to stop any argument without making one feel bad. Anyone.
The hippie of the group.
Yeah. Mm. So there we were, the 5 of us. Marco, Tobias, Rachel, Cassie, and me. 5 normal mall rats heading home. By the way... Oh,
all right. No. Okay.
Okay, let's try this again.
You first. Go.
No.
All right, go. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. What?
Yeah.
Oh, we actually have some. I can
yeah, you are on the air. Who is this?
Aaron.
Hi,
hey.
Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
How many people are on this show?
There are 3, but we all talk at the same time.
4, including you.
I was under the impression that there was like 20 people in that tiny little house.
You should use
well,
microphone.
You know, we squeeze.
I know there's only 2 mics. How'd you pull that off?
We squeeze.
We're sharing.
Well, Sarah here, she volunteered to do the girls' voices if you'd like.
Yeah, but we thought about that, but I think we'd like it if CJ did the girls' voices.
That would be awesome.
No.
I approve of this. I think it's
but
I'm not good at it.
We maybe if the show actually doesn't suck later, we'll bring people on.
And it's not going to.
Okay,
it's gonna
you
be
know
awesome.
What? I'm going to keep my optimism up. But anyway, yeah. So, thanks for volunteering.
I'm pretty sure I don't understand what's happening in the story so far.
Right. See, that's the problem.
I just know that one of the characters is black, but they don't actually say that. That's why.
Okay.
Too lazy. I was like, "What? She's black?" Oh my god.
It's basically setting them up to all be in the same place at once for the important plot points, which we will
yeah.
we're gonna hit our stride. Pretty really, soon.
Yeah, and you'll hear this
listening for the important
over.
Part,
you know. Wait. He's talking. He is. I know you can't hear him. Sorry, Aaron. What was that?
I'm trying to get the important plot points, which is she's black, and then
blank.
You can't. Nobody can do girls' voices with a straight face.
Okay. Well, see, when we first start in the show, we're all like giddy, like schoolgirls. And so eventually we're going to hit our stride and you'll understand everything.
It's going to be awesome.
We'll be like not even like half listening. I'll just get it in, by subconsciously listening.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that. Okay. Well, we're going to have to let you go so we can meet you at a band, and get this going.
Yeah.
All right. We'll tell you.
I'll call in like at another time.
Okay. Sounds good, dude.
I understand what's going on.
Thanks for calling.
We can have an intelligent conversation about the story.
Oh, excellent. I'm excited now.
What? Okay.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
All
right. Hang up.
Yeah, don't worry. Let's keep
basically,
going.
Basically, he just wants us to hit the stride more. Did you push
and
the phone button?
And he said you're giddy like a schoolgirl.
I am.
Push the phone button.
Oh, phone button, right.
Okay, let's do this. And let's try not to interrupt the story because Aaron wants to hear. And I'm sure others do too.
Okay.
Like, what's his face?
Okay.
Well, silent majority.
This will get pretty intense soon.
Yeah.
So let's do
really
this.
Quick here.
5 minutes later, life got a lot scarier. What do you know?
Oh, weird.
Oh, crap. Sometimes I think about... Okay. So there we were. The five of us. Marco, Tobias, Rachel, Cassie, and me. Five normal mall rats heading home. Sometimes I think about that one last moment when we were still just normal kids. It's like it was a million years ago, like it was some totally different group of kids. You know what I was afraid of right then? I was afraid of admitting to Tom that I hadn't made the team. That was as scary as life got back then. 5 minutes later, life got a lot scarier. To get home from the mall, we could either go the long way around, which is the safe way, or we could cut through this abandoned construction site and hope there weren't any axe murderers hanging around there. My mom and dad have sworn to ground me until I'm 20 if they ever find out I've cut through that construction site. So anyway, we crossed the road and headed into the abandoned construction site. It was a big area surrounded on the two sides by trees, with the highway separating it from the mall area. There's a broad open field between the construction site and the nearest houses. It's a very isolated place. Originally, it was supposed to be this new shopping center. Now it was just all these half-finished buildings looking like a ghost town. There were huge piles of rusted steel beams, pyramids of giant concrete pipes, little mountains of dirt, deep pits that had filled up with black, muddy water, and a creaking, rusting construction crane that I had climbed once while Marco stayed below and told me I was being an idiot. It was a totally deserted place, full of shadows and sounds that made the hair on the back of your neck stand up. When Marco and I went there during the day, we always found all these beer cans and liquor bottles. Sometimes we found the ashes of little campfires back in the hidden nooks and crannies of the buildings. So we knew that people came there at night. All that was on my mind as we crept through the site. It was Tobias who saw it first. He had been walking along, gazing up at the sky. I guess he was looking at the stars or something. That's the way Tobias is sometimes, off in a world of his own. Suddenly Tobias stopped. He was pointing almost straight up.
Look,
he said.
What?
I didn't want to be distracted because I was pretty sure I'd heard the sound of a chainsaw killer creeping up behind us.
Just look,
Tobias said. His voice was strange, amazed sounding, but serious at the same time. So I looked up, and there it was, a brilliant blue-white light that scooted across the sky, going fast at first. Just fast for it, just to...
Oh, come on!
We'll take it.
You're
on. Hello?
Hi.
Hey. I was just listening, and I'm enjoying the show, but I have no idea who I'm listening to, and I was wondering if you guys could introduce yourselves.
Hey, my name's Kyle Meckling.
He's also, what's your DJ name?
I have no idea. Bob or something.
Doc.
Oh, Doc.
Okay.
There we go.
This is CJ Hanley.
And what's yours?
Oh, mine is Bob.
Bob, there we go.
All right, and I'm Matthew Tung, and I am the oddball. I'm Gerg.
Yeah, and you're listening to Animorphs, the radio drama, Uncensored.
Well, thank you very much, boys. You have a great evening.
Wait, who is this?
Oh, my name's Amy.
Amy.
Well, tell your friends to tune in.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening.
And it's about to get intense, so you should be listening.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Oh,
it's
going to
get crazy.
I'll be on the edge of my seat.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
awesome.
Sammy.
Thank you.
Don't fall off. Where were we? Just
Okay. Tobias shook his head.
So I looked up.
There we go. And there it was, a brilliant blue-white light that scooted across the sky, going fast at first. Too fast for it to be an airplane, then slower and slower.
What is it?
Tobias shook his head.
I don't know.
I looked at Tobias and he looked back at me. We both knew what we thought it was, but we didn't want to say it. Marco and Rachel would have laughed, we figured, but Cassie just blurted it right out.
It's a flying saucer.
Do the chapter one sound effect.
Chapter two.
Okay, we'll do that.
A flying saucer?
Marco said. He did laugh. That is, up until he looked up. I could feel my own heart pounding in my chest. I felt weird and excited and afraid all at once.
It's coming this way,
Rachel said.
It's hard to be sure.
I could barely whisper. My mouth was so dry.
No, it's coming this way,
Rachel said. She has a very definite way of talking, like she's totally sure of everything she says. Rachel was right. Whatever it was coming closer, and it was slowing down. Now I could see pretty clearly what it looked like.
It's not exactly a flying saucer,
I said. First of all, it wasn't all that big. It was about as long as a school bus. The front end was a pod, shaped almost like an egg. Extending from the back of the pod was a long, narrow shaft. There were two crooked, stubby, wing-like things, and on the end of each wing was a long tube that glowed bright blue on the back end. The little spaceship looked almost cute, you know, kind of harmless. Except that it had a sort of a tail, I mean, long tail that curled, or curved up and forward, coming to a point that looked as sharp as a needle.
That tail thing?
I said.
It looks like a weapon. Definitely.
Marco agreed. The little ship kept coming nearer, going slower all the time.
It's stopping,
Rachel said. She had that same strange, not quite real tone in her voice that I had. Like we couldn't believe what we were seeing. Like maybe we didn't want to believe.
I think it sees us,
Marco said.
Should we run? Maybe we should run home and get a camera. Yeah. Do you know how much money we could get for a video of a real UFO? If we run, they might, I don't know, zap us with their phasers on full power.
Star Trek.
I meant it as
kind of a joke. Kind of.
Phasers are only on Star Trek,
Marco said, rolling his eyes the way he does when he thinks I'm being a dweeb, like he was some kind of expert on alien spaceships. Right. The ship stopped and hovered almost directly over our heads, maybe 100 feet in the air. I could feel the hair on my head standing on end.
Oh my god.
All right, callers, we're going to have to ask you to stop for a little while, because this is intense. All right, you're on now. Hey, what's up? And he hung up.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cold feet.
We're not going to answer the phone now for a little while.
Just until the end of a couple of chapters. Because, oh, my God.
Oh,
I'll answer it, but here.
Yeah,
all right. Good call. Okay, where are we at?
The ship stopped and hovered almost directly over our heads, maybe 100 feet in the air. I could feel the hair on my head standing on end. When I glanced at Rachel, it was almost funny. She had this long, blonde hair, and it was sticking straight out in every direction. Only Cassie looked normal.
What do you think it is? What do you think it is?
Marco asked. He shouted.
Okay.
All right.
He's kind of busy right now.
All right. We'll put her on. Is that cool?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hi, Stephanie.
Let's do it. Put it on so he's on awkwardly.
Okay, bye.
What?
Never mind.
I think we're doing a good job.
All right, we're doing a good job. We have the approval of Stephanie. That's awesome.
Okay. Actually, you know, it'd be awesome if you guys want to give like cool comments like that we can read afterwards.
Dude.
Try emailing us those so we can make the next show even better.
Animorph, no, not Animorphs, singular. Animorph_radio@yahoo.com. So that's our email, and we're going to resume. We're going to resume the story. All right? What do you think it is? Marco asked. He sounded a little shakier, not so laid back, now that the thing was so close. To be honest, I was a little scared, too. A little scared. As in, so terrified, I couldn't move. But at the same time, I was all cool, beyond any coolness ever. I mean, it was a spaceship, right there over my head. Tobias was actually grinning. But that's Tobias for you. He's never scared of weird stuff. It's the normal stuff he can't stand. I think it's going to land, he said, this huge smile on his face. His eyes were bright and excited, and his blonde hair was standing up in clumps. The ship began to descend.
It's coming right at us,
I cried. I had to fight an urge to run yammering across the field all the way home, where I could crawl into my bed and pull the covers over my head. But I knew that this was an important, amazing thing. I knew I had to stay and see it all. I guess the others felt the same way, because we all just stood there as the ship hummed and glowed and slowly settled down in an open space between piles of junk and tumbled walls. I noticed there were black burn marks along the top of the pod section. Some of the skin of the pod had been melted. It touched the ground, and instantly the blue lights went off. Rachel's hair fell down back onto her neck.
It isn't very big, is it?
Rachel whispered.
It is about...
I tried to think.
About 3 or 4 times as big as our minivan. We should tell someone,
Marco said.
I mean, this is kind of major. You know, spaceships don't just land in construction sites every day. We should call the cops or the army or the president or something. We'd be totally famous. We'd get to be on Letterman for sure. Yeah, you're right.
I agreed.
We should call someone.
But none of us moved. None of us was just going to walk away from a spaceship.
I wonder if we should try and talk to it,
Rachel suggested. She was standing there with her hands on her hips, looking at the spaceship like it was a puzzle she had to figure out.
I mean, we should communicate, if that's even possible.
Tobias nodded. He stepped forward and held out his hands. I guess he was showing whoever was in the ship that he wasn't carrying any kind of weapon or anything.
It's safe,
he said in a loud, clear voice.
We will not hurt you. Do you think they speak English?
I wondered.
Well, everyone speaks English on Star Trek.
Cassie said with a nervous laugh. Yeah, I got it. Star Trek.
Please come out.
Tobias
we won't
tried
hurt
again.
You.
Tobias tried again.
I know.
I froze. Okay, I had definitely heard someone say, I know. Only, there hadn't been any sound. I mean, I heard it, but I didn't really hear it. Maybe this was all a dream. I kind of looked sideways at Cassie. She looked back at me. Our eyes met. She had heard it too.
Awkward moment.
That's a Cassie Jake moment, so it's not a awkward moment, but it's an awkward moment. Our eyes met. She had heard it too. I looked at Rachel. She was turning her head back and forth, like she was looking for where that sound that wasn't a sound could have come from. I started to get a sick, twisty feeling in my stomach.
Did everyone hear that?
Tobias whispered. We all nodded at once, very slowly.
Can you come out?
Tobias asked in a loud, talking to aliens voice.
I should, you know, think of one that's good enough.
It was one line.
Yes. Do not be afraid. We won't be frightened,
Tobias said.
Speak for yourself,
I muttered. The others giggled nervously. A thin arc of light opened, a doorway opening slowly in the smooth side of the pod part of the ship. I stood there, totally hypnotized. I just stared, waiting. The opening grew like the crescent moon at first, and then a full bright circle. And then he appeared. My first reaction was that someone had cloned a person and a deer together. The creature had a head and shoulders and arms that were more or less where they should have been, though the skin was a pale shade of blue. But below that, he had fur, a mixture of blue and tan, covering a four-legged body that really did look like it belonged to a deer, or maybe a small horse. He ducked his head out of the doorway, and I could see that even the fairly normal-looking parts of him weren't all that normal. For a start, he had no mouth, just 3 vertical slits. And then there were his eyes. 2 of them were where they should have been, although they were a glittery green color that was kind of shocking. But the real shock was the other eyes. He had what seemed like horns, only at the top of each horn was an eye. The horns could move, twisting to point the eyes front and back or up and down. I thought the eyes were bad, until I saw the tail. It was like a scorpion's tail, thick and powerful looking. On the end was a wickedly curved, very sharp-looking horn or stinger. It reminded me of that alien spaceship. It had seemed kind of cute and harmless till you noticed the tail. The alien seemed kind of harmless at first glance, too. Then you saw that tail of his and you thought, whoa, this guy could do some damage if he wanted.
Hello,
Tobias said. His voice was gentle, like he was talking to a baby.
He keeps changing his voice. Grinning. This is too hard.
I realized I was smiling, too. And at the same moment, I realized that there were tears in my eyes. I can't really describe how it felt.
Violin except music.
Yeah.
Except that it seemed like the alien was someone I'd known forever. Like an old friend I hadn't seen in a long, long time. Hello.
Keep going.
Hello.
The alien said in that silent way that you only heard inside your head.
Hi.
We all said back. To my surprise, the alien staggered. He fell out of the ship to the ground. Tobias tried to grab him and hold him up, but the alien slipped from his grasp and fell back to the dirt.
Look!
Cassie cried. She pointed at a burn that covered half of the alien's right side. He's hurt.
He's hurt.
Sorry.
Yes, I am dying,
he said.
Can we help you? We can call an ambulance or something,
Marco said.
We can bandage that wound,
Cassie said.
Jake, give me your shirt. We can tear it up and make bandages.
That's an awkward moment. Cassie's parents are both veterinarians, and she's totally into animals. Not that this was an animal. Not exactly, anyway.
No. I will die. The wound is fatal. No!
I cried.
You can't die! You're the first alien ever to come to Earth. You can't die!
I don't know why I was so upset. I just knew that way down deep inside, it hurt me to think of him dying.
I don't have it.
I'm not the first. There are many, many others. Other aliens like you?
Tobias demanded. The alien shook his big head slowly, side to side.
Not like me.
Then he cried out in pain, a silent sound that echoed horribly inside my mind.
echo.
For a moment, I had actually felt him dying.
Not like me,
he repeated.
They are different. Different? How?
I said. I will remember his answer forever, he said.
They have come to destroy you. Chapter 3. They have come to destroy you.
It was strange, the way we all just knew he was telling the truth. No one said, no way, or you're making it up. We all just knew. He was dying, and he was trying to warn us of something terrible.
They are called Yerks. They are different form of us.
They're different from us.
I said that. Different from you as well. Are you telling us they're already on Earth?
Rachel demanded.
Many are here. Hundreds. Maybe more. Why hasn't anybody noticed them?
Marco said reasonably.
You know, I think someone would have mentioned it at school. You don't understand. Yerks are different. They have no bodies. Like yours or mine, they live in the bodies of other species. They are...
I guess he couldn't think of a word to explain Yerks, so he closed his eyes and seemed to concentrate. Suddenly, a bright picture popped into my head. I saw a gray-green, slimy thing, like a snail without its shell, only bigger, the size of a rat, maybe. It wasn't a pretty picture.
Ugh. I guess that was a Yerk,
Marco said.
Either that or a very big wad of slimy chewing gum. They are almost powerless without their hosts.
Suddenly, we felt that blast of pain straight from the alien. I could also feel his sadness. He knew his time was almost up.
The Yerks are parasites. They must have a host to live in. In this form, they are known as controllers. They enter the brain and are absorbed into it, taking over the host. That's the host's thoughts and feelings. They try to get the host to accept them voluntarily, but
It is easier that way. Otherwise, the host may be able to resist. At least a little. Are you saying they take over human beings?
Rachel asks.
People? These things take over their bodies? Look, this is serious stuff.
I said.
You shouldn't be telling us. We're just kids. You know, this is like something the government should know about. No. We had hoped to stop them.
The alien continued.
Swarms of their bug fighters were waiting. When our dome ship came out of Z-Space, we knew of their mothership and were ready for the bug fighters, but the Yerks surprised us. They had hidden in a powerful blade ship in a crater of your moon. We fought, but we lost. They have tracked me here. They will be here soon to eliminate all traces of me and my ship. How can they do that?
Cassie wondered. The alien seemed to smile with his eyes.
A hard task. The Dracon beams will leave nothing behind but a few molecules of this ship and this body.
He said.
I sent a message to my homeworld. We Andalites fight the Yerks wherever they go, throughout the universe. My people will send help, but it may take years. Even more. And by then the Yerks will have control of this planet. After that, there is no hope. You must tell people. You must warn your people.
Another spasm of pain ripped through him, and we all knew he was nearly gone.
No one is ever going to believe us,
Marco said hopelessly. He looked at me and shook his head.
No way!
He was right. If these Yerks were to wipe out the Andalite ship, how on earth would we ever convince people? They'd think we were either nuts or on drugs or both.
I don't care if they think he's going to die. We have to try and help him,
Rachel said.
We can't get him to a hospital, or we can get him to a hospital, or maybe Cassie's parents. There's no time. No time,
the Andalite said. Then his eyes brightened.
But perhaps... What? Go into my ship. You will see a small blue box. Very plain. Bring it to me. Quickly! I have very little time. And the Yerks will find me soon.
We all looked at each other. Who's going to be the one to go inside the ship? Somehow we all seemed to agree it would be me. Actually, I didn't agree, but everyone else did.
Go ahead,
Tobias said.
I want to stay with him.
He knelt beside the Andalite and placed a comforting hand on the alien's narrow shoulder. I looked at the doorway into the spacecraft. I glanced at Cassie.
Go ahead,
she said, sending me a smile.
You're not scared.
She was wrong. I was plenty scared. But the way she smiled at me, I wasn't about to weasel out. That's an awkward moment.
Yep.
I walked over to the door of the ship and looked inside. It was surprisingly simple. It looked cozy, almost. Everything was a creamy color with rounded edges and shapes that tended to be oval.
Like Grandma's house.
Like modernism. Yeah. Anyway, that was one of the things that helped me to spot the box so easily. It was sky blue and square, maybe 4 inches on each side. It seemed kind of heavy for being so small. I stepped up into the ship. There was no chair, just sort of an open space where I guess the Andalite stood on his four hooves while he worked the few controls. There weren't a lot of buttons or anything. I wondered if the Andalite controlled the ship with his thoughts. I quickly reached for the box and started to head back outside, but then something caught my eye. It was a small, three-dimensional picture. Four Andalites standing all together, looking like a strange gathering of deer with solemn faces. Two of them looked very small. Kids. I realized that this was a picture of the Andalite's family. It filled me with sadness to think that here he was, dying a million miles from his family, dying because he had tried to protect the people of Earth. I felt a small flame of anger against the Yerks, or controllers, or whatever they were, for causing this. I went back to my circle of friends.
Here's the box,
I told the Andalite. He was very emotional.
I'll try that again. Here's the box,
I told the Andalite.
Thank you. I,
sounds like he has to go to the bathroom.
Hey, you know what? This is hard.
It's emotional.
Kyle's
shut
doing
up.
An awesome job.
Stop breaking the moment. If seriously.
A caller, if a caller wants to tell him how an awesome job he's doing, then...
They'll have to wait till the end of the chapter.
It's fine. It's fine. After the chapter. Anyway, continuing the sad moment. Not the funny one. The sad one.
Oh, right.
Was that your family? That picture? Yes. I'm really sorry.
I said, what else could I say?
There is something I may be able to do to help you fight the Yerks. What?
Rachel demanded.
I know that you are young. I know that you have no power with which to resist the controllers. But I may be able to give you some small power that may help.
We all looked at each other, all except Tobias, who never took his gaze off the alien.
If you wish, I can give you powers that no other human being has ever had. Powers?
What was that supposed to mean?
It's a piece of Andalite technology that the Yerks do not have.
The Andalite explained.
A technology that enables us to pass unnoticed in many parts of this universe. The power to morph. We have never shared this power, but your need is great. Ugh. Morph? Morph how?
Rachel asked, her eyes narrowed.
To change your bodies,
the Andalite said.
To become other species, any animal.
Marco laughed derisively.
Become animals.
Marco isn't the most accepting person in the world.
You will only need to touch a creature to acquire its DNA, and you will be able to become that creature. It requires concentration and determination, but if you are strong, you can do it. There are limitations, problems, dangers, if you will, but there is no time to explain it all. No time. You'll have to learn for yourselves. But first, do you wish to receive this power? He is kidding, right?
Margo asked me.
No.
Tobias said softly.
He's not kidding. This is nuts.
Marco said.
This whole thing is nuts. Yerks and spaceships and slugs taking over people's brains and Andalites and the power to change into animals. Give me a break. Yeah, it's beyond weird.
I agreed.
We're off the map of weirdness at this point.
Yes,
that is an awesome phrase.
I forgot about that. Okay, we're saving that one. But unless we're all just dreaming, I think we'd better deal with this.
That was Rachel.
He's dying.
Tobias reminded us.
I'll do it.
Cassie said. That surprised me. Cassie usually isn't so quick to decide. But I guess, like Tobias, she felt the truth of what the Andalite was saying.
I think we should all decide together.
I suggested.
One way or the other. What's that?
Rachel asked. She was looking up towards the stars. Far, far overhead, two pinpoints of bright red light were shooting across the sky.
Yerks!
The Andalite said the word in our minds, and we could feel his hatred.
Chapter 4.
Yerks!
The twin red lights slowed. They turned in a circle and came back toward us.
There is no more time. We must decide. You must decide, I mean. We have to do this.
Tobias said.
Who else? How else can we fight these controllers? This is so insane.
Marco said.
Insane! I'd like more time, but we don't have that choice.
Rachel said.
I'm for it. What do you say, Jake?
Cassie asked me. It was odd. Like, suddenly I was the one who had to decide for everyone. I looked up at the Yerk ships. What did the Andalite call them? Bug fighters? They were circling closer, like dogs sniffing for a scent. I looked down at the Andalite and remembered the picture of his family. Would they even know what had happened to him? I looked at each of the people around me. My usually funny, occasionally annoying best friend, Marco. Rachel, my smart, pretty, confident cousin. And Cassie, who everyone knew liked animals more than she liked people. Finally, I looked at Tobias. It was weird, the feeling I had at that moment, staring at him. A chill or something. Some sort of foreshadowing, maybe.
We have to,
Tobias said to me. Slowly, I nodded.
Yes, we have no choice.
Then each of you press your hand against one of the sides of the square.
We did. Five hands, each pressed against one side. Then a sixth hand, different from ours, with too many fingers.
Do not be afraid,
the Andalite said. Something like a shock, only pleasurable, seemed to run through me. A tingle that almost made me laugh.
Go now,
the Andalite said.
Only remember this. Never, ever remain in animal form for more than two of your Earth hours. Never! There, that is the greatest danger of morphing. If you stay longer than 2 hours, you will be trapped, unable to return to your human form. 2 hours,
I repeated. Suddenly, some new fear washed through the Andalite's mind. Linked as I was to him, I could feel it as a dread that crawled up my spine. He was staring up at the sky with his main eyes. Something else was up there with the bug fighters.
Fissa 3. He has come. What?
I was shaking with this new terror.
What's a visser? Who's a visser? Go now, run! Visser 3 is here. He is the most deadly of your enemies. Of all Yerks, he alone has the power to morph. The same power you now have. Run! No, we'll stay with you,
Rachel said firmly.
Maybe we can help.
Again, it was as if the alien was smiling at us with his eyes.
No, you must save yourselves. Save yourselves and save your planet. The Yerks are here.
We all looked up, craning our necks. Sure enough, the two red lights were sinking toward us, and they had been joined by a third ship, far larger, black as a shadow within a shadow.
But how are we supposed to fight these controllers?
Rachel demanded.
You must find a way. Now, run.
I jerked from the force of his command.
He's right. Run!
I yelled. We ran, all but Tobias, who knelt beside the Andalite and took his hand. The Andalite pressed his other hand against Tobias's head. Tobias rocked back like he'd been shocked. Then he, too, was up and running, stumbling over the loose junk and potholes of the construction site. A beam of bright red light snapped on. It was a spotlight from one of the bug fighters. The beam lit up the fallen Andalite in his ship. A spotlight from the second bug fighter joined the first, and the Andalite shone brilliant as a star. I hit the dirt hard. I saw my leg lit up within the circle of that spotlight. I yanked it to me and crawled fast, scraping my elbows and knees over sharp stones. The five of us crouched behind a low, crumbled wall, afraid to move, afraid to look, but just as afraid to look away. Slowly, the bug fighters descended. It was easy to see where they'd gotten their nickname. They were slightly larger than the Andalite fighter and were shaped like legless cockroaches. There were small windows like eyes on the forward thrust head of the bug, and on either side of the head were two very long, very sharp, serrated spears.
Ooh, serrated.
The Yerk bug fighters touched down, one on either side of the Andalite ship.
Okay, you can wake me up now,
Marco said in a rattled whisper.
Which was louder than a rattled whisper.
I have had enough of this dream.
The larger ship began to descend. I don't know what it was about that ship, but as it got closer, I started to feel like I couldn't breathe. I tried to suck in a deep lungful of air and couldn't. I tried to swallow and couldn't. I wanted to run, but my legs were jelly. I was shaking from a fear so deep it was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. It was the same fear that the Andalite had shown when he realized Visser 3 was coming. The ship settled toward the ground. It looked like it was going to land directly on a big, rusted earth mover parked there. But as the Visser's ship descended, the earth mover just sizzled and disappeared. The Visser's ship was built like some ancient weapon. It reminded me of one of those battle axes the old-time knights used when they were hacking off the heads of their foes. There was a main part, like the handle of the axe, with a big triangular point in the front. That part had to be the bridge. At the rear were two huge scimitar wings. It was 8 or 10 times the size of the bug fighters. The blade ship landed. A door opened. Cassie started to scream. I clamped my hand over her mouth.
Oh my god!
Oh no. CJ's going to pick this one up on...
No.
Oh, okay. We're going to answer the phone.
We're on Animal Earth, the radio drama Uncensored.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good.
Who is this?
Who do you think this is?
It's Kelly. This
is Kelly Nelson. How's it going?
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, are you sure this isn't the Phantom hanger-upper?
It could be.
It's possible.
How's it going, dude?
I just thought I'd call and see how it's going with you guys.
Dude, I'm having so much fun. Your call actually knocked me out of my chair. I was so into this.
Yeah, it was a really tense moment. Thanks, Kelly.
Yes. Are you listening?
What?
Have you been listening?
No.
Ah!
I told you guys I wasn't going to listen, dude, and I can't listen on Linux. I actually tried.
Oh, okay. Well, Kelly, you have an excuse.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling, dude. We're going to have to get back to the book because we're about to take a break.
Yeah. Okay, see ya.
See you, Kelly. Later. Bye.
Continue.
The blade ship landed.
Page number. What are we on?
Oh, 28. We're on page 28.
Okay,
right
I threw
near the
my
bottom.
Book when he called, so sorry.
It was an intense moment, and it's just getting intenser with all this buildup.
Okay.
The blade.
Clear eyes.
I do not sound like Ben Stein.
Okay, continue.
The blade ship landed. A door opened. Cassie started to scream. I clamped my hand over her mouth. They leaped from the ship, whirling and thrusting and slicing the air. These guys are Scottish, remember? Creatures that looked like walking weapons. They stood on two bent back legs and had two very long arms. One on each arm, there were curved horn blades that grew out of their wrist and elbow. There were other blades at their bent back knees, and two more blades at the end of their tails. They had feet like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Pretty much your worst nightmare.
But it was the head that got your attention. A neck like a snake. A mouth that was almost a falcon's beak, and from the forehead, three dagger-like horns raked forward.
Hulk Bajir controllers.
I jumped, hearing the Andalite's words in my mind again. They were fainter than before, strained, like someone yelling from far away.
Did you guys?
I asked. Rachel nodded.
Yeah. The Hulk Bajir are good people, despite their fearsome looks.
The Andalite said.
But they have been enslaved by the Yerks. Each of them now carries a yerk in his head. They are to be pitied. Pity. Right.
Rachel said grimly.
They're walking killing machines.
Look at them.
Look at them.
But our attention was drawn away by a new form that crept and slithered and shimmied out of the blade ship.
Shimmied?
Yeah, it's...
Does it say shimmied?
Yeah, it says frickin' shimmied. Look. S-H-I-M-M-I-E-D. Shimmied.
Not important.
It's shimmied. It sounds like they're like a swing dance.
It's better than Lance.
Okay. They crept and slithered and did not shimmy out of the blade ship.
Good.
Taxon controllers.
The Andalite said. I knew he was trying to tell us all he could, even to the end, trying to prepare us for what we were up against.
The taxons are evil. Yeah.
Marco muttered.
I think I would have guessed that.
They were like massive centipedes, twice as long as a grown man. So big around...
Some men are longer than others.
So big around that if you tried
that
to hug...
That was a horrible quote, I'm sorry.
What's that from?
That's from Braveheart.
All right.
For the record.
They were like massive centipedes, twice as long as a grown man. So big around...
Yes!
So...
Oh. No, it's fine. We like
all right.
This.
Okay, yes. We love you, callers. All
you're
right,
on,
here you
wait,
go.
You're on the air.
Oh! None of that, folks. None of that.
You know what? You can keep calling. We're just going to keep answering and keep going, ah! And it's going to be great. Continuing.
Just watch.
All right. Ba-dum-bum-bum. They were like massive centipedes, twice as long as a grown man. So big around that if you tried to hug one, your arms wouldn't make it even halfway. Not that anyone would ever want to. They had dozens of legs that supported the lower two-thirds of their bodies. The top third was held upright, and there the rows of legs became smaller with little lobster claw hands. Around the top of their disgusting tubular bodies were four eyes, each like a wiggling globule of red jello.
Ooh.
And at the very end... pointing straight up in the air with a round mouth ringed by hundreds of tiny teeth. Hork, Bajir, and taxons poured from the blade ship, spreading out around the area like a well-trained marines. They were holding small, pistol-sized things that were definitely weapons.
Pick it up.
All right, you're on.
Hey, hello? How's it going?
Quality control.
What?
Oh.
What do we do?
What did we do?
Just a few seconds ago.
What did we do?
That one joke.
Which one?
Oh, come on.
Oh, the Braveheart joke?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I said sorry, dude.
Okay. I'm keeping on listening. I'm keeping a check on you guys.
All right. You stay classy, all right?
And
well, there's the beep.
Yep, that was a busy signal. Okay. They were holding small, pistol-sized things that were definitely weapons. They formed a ring around the Andalite and his ship. Okay, we've got another caller.
Come on in.
All right, here you are. You're on air.
Kyle, that Braveheart quote was awesome.
Yes! Thank you! I was excited, too.
Who is that?
That's Wes.
Oh, who is this? Wes?
Who is this?
Hello?
You're still on the air? All right.
Okay. All right, later.
And you're not.
Okay. Yeah, you're done.
Okay, we are just about to take a break, so hold your calls for like 5 seconds.
And we're going
to
check our email during the break, too.
Yeah, and it'll be great.
All right. Suddenly, one of the Hork-Bajir came straight toward us. He took one big bounding step, and he was practically on top of us. This is going to be an awesome, like, break. Yeah. I hugged the dirt like it was my last hope. I wished I could dig a hole. I saw a flash of Marco's face. His eyes were huge. His lips were drawn back in what could have been a grin, except I knew it was an expression of pure terror.
Is that the end?
Yeah, that's the end.
Damn it.
Oh, man. We'll see.
The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah.
Pick it up.
All right, here we are.
And we're back.
Wait. How's it going, dude? Or dudette. Who's on the air?
Oh, shit.
All right.
Well, anyways, you're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or kdup.up.edu, the sound of Portland. And you're listening
campus.
To... What are we listening to, Kyle?
We're listening to Animorphs.
The radio drama Uncensored.
Yeah. So, what have we been listening... What have we been doing last
Let's get a book? Synopsis.
Let's get a synopsis. Where's the other book? I want to read.
All right. A synopsis. So far, Cassie, Tobias, Marco, Rachel, and Jake have been walking home from the mall through the abandoned construction site like their parents told them not to. A spaceship appeared in the sky. We're having some issues here in the studio.
Dude, I'm not letting you take Bister's voice.
You are not taking Bister's voice.
You gotta have him the normal way. Anyway.
That was close, folks. We just had a scuffle.
There was a spaceship.
There was a scuffle.
In the sky. Okay. And we're synopsizing again. Right. There was a spaceship in the sky, and,
I don't know how to do that.
Okay. All right.
Spaceship in the sky.
There was a spaceship.
Get over.
Okay, he can have
spaceship in the sky, and then an Andalite came out. He was wounded, and he was very serious. And we did that part.
We're about to get to some major religious symbolism here.
Oh yeah, yes.
We're gonna leave that out. I think.
No, we're not.
Oh god,
alien Jesus, it's classic. Anyway, he was wounded. He was dying, and he told them about Yerkes, which are trying to destroy the world
by taking over people's minds.
Yeah, Yerkes are these ugly slugs that jump in people's heads through the ears.
Ah, crap. Right, okay. Quality control.
Okay, we're gonna put him on.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, yeah, it's Wes. That quote was awesome.
All right,
thanks Wes. We're gonna take you off now.
Okay, all right, have fun. Give
Bye.
Me good work.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Bye. All right, so evil slugs take over people's brains. Andalites are fighting him. Epic battle of good and evil.
A lot of death and mayhem.
Yeah.
It was great.
Went on the ship. There was technology, Andalite technology. They were given the power to morph, change into any animal by hijacking its DNA. And,
yeah, that's about it.
That's about it. Okay, and right now, there is a Hork-Bajir standing right over our five friends. And oh my gosh, it's intense.
Yeah, so if we want to have any callers to call in right now, anyone. We haven't had Villa represented on the show yet.
No, not yet.
They're being pretty quiet over there.
We did get an email during the break from Andy Boys. He says we're pretty much awesome and it sounds great, but we should have more cowbells. So we'll work on that, Andy.
Okay. Ooh, we can bring in
some
cowbells.
And you know what else? We haven't said the more you know.
Well, we haven't had any more. We haven't had that yet.
Okay, so anybody in Villa, we're waiting to hear from you.
Michael Ryan.
Or Tim Meckling, or any of those listening. I don't know who else is there. Anyway, that's 503-943-7121, or just extension 7121 if you're on a campus line.
And yeah. You can also email us at animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
And honestly, we're going to take into consideration everything you guys have to say, especially on this first show, so the rest of it can just rock your socks.
Yeah, we should have some mailing callers, too. That would be awesome.
You know, I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind either. It would show us that we're not complete nerds. Okay.
So should we have a moment of silence to let them call? Or
no,
just
they'll just
going?
Call. They interrupt us anyways. Okay, yeah, Matt, you need to say the chapter.
Chapter 5.
Okay, we're good.
You folded away. Okay, he said chapter 5.
Okay, chapter 5. The Hork-Bajir pointed his gun, or whatever it was, around at the darkness. His snake head swerved left and right, trying to penetrate the gloom.
Silence!
The Andalite warned us.
Hork-Bajir did not see very well in the dark, but their hearing is very good.
The Hork-Bajir moved closer still. He was 6 feet away now, with just the low wall between us. He had to have heard my heart pounding. Maybe he didn't know what the sound was. Maybe he didn't recognize the sound of five terrified kids whose knees were quivering and teeth were chattering.
Nice!
Oh, we have a call. Let's see who it is.
All right.
Matt, you
want to
put that on?
Yep.
And honestly, you're on Animorphs.
Just call in to represent Villa.
Oh, nice. Hey, who is this?
This is Nathan.
Hey, what's up, Nathan? You enjoying the show?
I can't hardly make out what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll try to be a little bit clearer there, buddy.
Well, I just can't hear you on the phone. I can hear you on the show just fine.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, I've run into this problem when I call in.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, we're glad you guys are enjoying the show. How many people you got there?
Just me.
Just you?
Ooh.
Well, go yell at Michael Ryan or some of those guys and, yeah.
Tim Meckling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll jump on. It'll be great.
Nathan, we'll see who we can round up.
Yeah, Nathan's awesome. Good job, man. Keep the show alive. You're listening to Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
Okay, talk to you later, dude.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye. Okay, where were we?
Something about, like, guns.
Kids who were breathing in short sudden gasps.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and we got another call. You're on Animorphs,
the radio drama.
Uncensored.
Who is this? The Phantom Caller. We'll find you.
I don't think we will, but, you know, we can make threats.
Not really.
Wait. Oh, that's the Phantom Caller.
I almost can make out people in the background. I'm really worried it's the group in Christie that's just, you know, being such good friends.
Yeah.
But if it's not, you know, oh well.
Well, you know what? We only got like 45 minutes, so we got to get through this.
Yeah.
All right.
We got to get through this. Okay.
So hold your calls, make some emails at animorph_radio@yahoo.com. And we'll look into it and make changes.
Or check out the Facebook site.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that is, but it's
awesome.
Me
neither. Okay. Good Lord.
Okay, we're going to take this one and no more, okay?
You're on Animorphs.
Hi, this is the 8th floor of mailing.
Oh, yeah! How is the 8th floor of mailing on this fine evening? No, this is Christine.
Hey, Christine.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to hear more Tobias quotes because I really don't know what's going on with Tobias right now.
Okay, well, Tobias is pretty much awesome. We haven't figured that out yet, but if we can get there, he's the best character in this book. He really
is. Yes, yes.
And in the books to come.
Okay.
He's
all
quite
right.
My favorite.
Well, thank you, Kyle. We're all listening.
Thank you. And
bye.
Keep it up.
Talk to you later.
Nice.
Okay, here we go.
I'm excited.
Three dorms listening in. This is an awesome
so far.
Show. Yeah, so tell your friends
and check out the scrolling marquee at the Commons.
Tell your enemies, too.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Just people.
Okay, we're going to continue now. Just email us if you want us to read what you have to say.
We're bringing the world together with Animorphs.
Okay.
I was sure I was going to die right then. I could see in my mind the way those vicious wrist and elbow blades were going to slice my head from my body. If you've never been really afraid, let me tell you, it does things to you. It takes over your mind and your body. You want to scream. You want to run. You want to wet your pants.
Ew.
You want to throw yourself down on the ground and cry and beg.
Please, 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 please don't kill me.
I don't think that's in there.
Yes, it is. And if you think you're brave, well, wait till you're cowering a few feet away from a monster who can turn you into coleslaw in about 3 seconds flat. I don't see how we can get, like, the sour cream or whatever you make, like, the sauce with.
You know what? It doesn't matter. Because it's awesome.
People coleslaw.
Ooh.
Oh, right.
right.
I don't think that'd be very white, though. I think it'd be a little bit more...
reddish?
Yeah, that would be disgusting.
The more you know.
We are the other white meat, though.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. Tongue, that was awful.
We are continuing.
Okay, we are continuing. But then the Andalite's voice was in my head again.
Courage, my friends.
And this warm, I don't have the words to explain it. It was just this warmth that spread all through me. It was like when you're a little kid and you've had a terrible nightmare and you've woken up screaming. You know how you used to feel better when your mom or dad would turn on the light and come in and sit beside you in the bed? Well, that's what it was like. I mean, I was still terrified. The Hork-Bajir was still there, so real and so deadly. I could hear him breathing. I could smell him. Didn't smell very good. But at the same time, I could feel the panic coming under control. I could feel the strength flowing from the doomed Andalite. He was letting us borrow some of his courage, even though he must have been afraid himself.
I don't think so. He's pretty much awesome.
We're getting to some huge religious symbolism.
Yeah.
The line is coming up. The Hork-Bajir moved away. Something new was coming from the blade ship. Shaking and chattering, I rose high enough to look over the low wall. And then a Hork-Bajir shot me.
No!
Every Hork-Bajir and every taxon was turned toward the ship now.
They're all standing at it. They're... Wow. You just exploded. They're all standing at attention.
I whispered.
Sorry. How can you tell?
Marco whispered back.
Who knows when a jelly-eyed centipede or walking salad shooter from heck is...
No, Applegate says it, we can all right, say
if
it.
Applegate says it, we can say it, but we're gonna hear from Carmen.
Salad shooters from hell is standing at attention.
Then he appeared.
Visser 3,
the Andalite said. Visser 3 was an Andalite. Or at least he was an Andalite controller.
Boom!
Oh my goodness, plot twist.
That is huge.
Oh.
That's how he's got the power to morph, if any of you didn't notice that quote earlier. Okay, continuing.
What the?
Rachel said.
Isn't that an Andalite? Only once has a Yerk been able to take an Andalite body.
The Andalite said.
There is only one Andalite controller. That one is Visser 3.
There can be only one Andalite controller.
Oh, man. Visser 3 walked confidently toward the wounded Andalite. The Visser seemed so much like the Andalite, it was hard to tell them apart at first. He had the same mouthless face, the same extra stalk eyes that turned here and there, checking out everything in all directions. The same powerful yet sleek four-legged body, and the same wicked tail.
Wicked.
But if the Visser looked like any normal Andalite, he felt different. It was like he was wearing a mask. Like Jim Carrey. Only you just knew that under the fake sweetness of the mask, there was something twisted and foul.
Well, well.
Visser 3 said. I almost had a heart attack when I realized I was hearing the Visser's thoughts.
Can you hear his thoughts?
Cassie whispered.
Or can he hear our thoughts?
Oh, can he hear our thoughts?
Cassie whispered.
If he can, we are so dead. I don't even want to think about it.
Rachel told her.
He cannot hear your thoughts.
See, now what I want to know is if he can hear, if the Andalite can hear them, why can't any of these other guys?
He can't. He just knows that that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, because they're, like, intimate.
Well, anyway.
That was for you, Tim.
Now we're going to call from Corey.
He cannot hear your thoughts.
Cassie whispered. What
the Andalite! Come on!
That was not Cassie.
I was completely thinking something else. Cassie whispered.
No, the Andalite.
Okay, the Andalite said.
As long as you don't direct them at him, you hear his thoughts because he is broadcasting them for all to hear. This is a great victory for him, so he wants all to hear. What have we here? A meddling Andalite.
Viscer 3 looked more closely at the Andalite ship.
Ah, but no ordinary Andalite warrior. Prince Alfango Sirenelia Lershamtul.
I screwed up his name, but you don't care.
If I am not mistaken, an honor to meet you. You're a legend. How many of your fighters have you shredded? Our fighters have you shredded? 7? Or was it 8?
He's a team killer.
By the time the battle ended, how many was it? Andalite.
The Andalite didn't answer, but I had the feeling maybe it had been more than 8.
The very last Andalite in this sector of space.
See, now the significance of 8 here, because as we know, in the Bible, 8 is a much, like, a whole number.
And that's enough of that.
Continuing.
Where was I? Oh.
Yes. I'm afraid your dome ship has been completely destroyed. Completely. I watched it burn as it fell into the atmosphere of this little world. There will be others,
the Andalite prince said. The Visser took a step closer to the Andalite.
Yes, and when they come, it will be too late. This world is mine. My own contribution to the Yerk Empire, our greatest conquest. And then I will be Visser 1.
Who knows, for those of you that are listening in Spanish.
That was supposed to be an ooh, but this is very taxing on my voice.
I can take over.
If you want. Later.
Yeah. No, I want to do it now.
All right, fine.
Yay. Fine, whatever. Big babies.
What do you want with these humans?
The Andalite asked.
You have your Taxon allies. You have your Hawk-Bajir slaves. And other slaves from other worlds. Why these people? Because there are so many. And they are so weak.
Visser 3 sneered.
Billions of bodies. And they have no idea what's happening. And pause. With this many hosts, we can spread throughout the universe. Unstoppable. Billions of us. We will have to build 1,000 Yerk pools just to raise Yerks for half this
He's
number
turning
of
into
bodies.
Scottish, Kyle. Watch it there.
Am I?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're supposed to be Emperor Palpatine.
Okay.
Either, laddie. Your faith in your friends is yours.
There you go.
There we go.
Face it, Andalite. You have fought well and bravely, but you have lost.
Visser 3 stepped right up to the Andalite. I could feel the Andalite's fear, but rather than cower, he fought the pain of his wound and climbed to his feet. Oh my goodness, this guy.
Picture it! Can you picture it? A cut the size of something big.
A bird.
A bird in the side of this.
A burn.
Burn. Anyway, it's huge. And he gets up to face this abomination? God! We could only wish to be that cool.
Yeah.
Is it my quote?
I don't know where we stinks. Are.
My line. Climbed to his feet. He knew he was going to die. He wanted to die on his feet, looking his enemy in the face.
Pretty much awesome.
He's kind of like Klingon, but... But
it is a good day to die.
Kapla! But Visser 3 was not done taunting his foe.
I promise you one thing, Prince Elfangor. When we have this planet with its rich harvest of bodies, We will move against the Andalite homeworld.
And they will fall.
Exactly. I will personally hunt down your family. And I will personally oversee the placement of my most faithful lieutenants in their heads. That was most faithful lieutenants in their heads. I hope that they will resist so I can hear their mind scream.
The Andalite struck. His tail whipped up and over so fast you couldn't really see it. The Visser twisted his head aside. The Andalite's tail blade missed the Visser's head by a bare half inch, but it sliced into his shoulder. Blood, or something like blood, sprayed from in the wound.
Yes!
I hissed. Ah! I could hear the Visser's howl of pain in my head. At the same time, a blinding beam of blue light shot from the tail of the Andalite ship. It sliced into the nearest bug fighter. Hawk, Bajir, and Taxon scattered. Get an explosion! We need an explosion. Explosion! Right there! Makes explosion! Click play!
I did!
Well, that was sort of... Okay, there's the explosion.
that was actually pretty good!
Where are we? Oh, crap.
Struck Arg. Same blind as...
Even crouching behind the wall, I could feel waves of blistering heat. The bug fighter sizzled and disappeared.
Fire!
The Visser 3 yelled.
Burn his ship.
The knight exploded in blinding light. Red beams lanced. Lanced from the blade ship and the remaining bug fighter. The Andalite ship glowed and with a strange slowness disintegrated. Then in the flash and glow of Dracon beams I saw, or thought I saw, humans, a small group of them, maybe 3 or 4, backed in the shadows behind the Visser.
There are people over there.
I told Marco.
What? Are they prisoners? Take the Andalite.
Visser 3 ordered his soldiers.
Hold him for me.
3 big Hork-Bajir grabbed the Andalite and held him down. Their wrist blades were at his throat, but they knew better than to kill him. That was to be the Visser 3's personal privilege. Then we saw why a Yerk as powerful as Visser 3...
Hey, Jake isn't British.
Either. I know, I'm screwing this up. Then we saw why a Yerk as powerful as Visser 3 would inhabit the only captured Andalite body. As we watched, Visser 3 began to morph.
Italicized morph. You gotta get that right.
There we go. His Andalite...
Oh, we're not gonna make morphing sounds. It'll get too sickening.
Okay. His Andalite head grew large. Larger. Much larger.
Not appropriate
okay.
noises.
Sorry.
And, oh. as he, and as he rose, he said, "That's why the ladies love me."
Oh! Where's Corbin on that one?
No.
It had to be said.
No, it... Well, okay. I'll let it slide.
Sorry, Corbin. We know it was wrong. You don't need to call.
He's gonna call.
I know. The 4 horse-like legs merged into 2 and then expanded, each leg becoming as big around as a redwood tree. The delicate Andalite arms sprouted and became tentacles.
This isn't real,
Caspi whispered.
This isn't real.
In the hideously bloated head, a mouth appeared. It was filled with teeth as long as your arm. The mouth grew wider and wider, becoming a monstrous, terrifying grin. There was nothing left of the Andalite body. A monster had taken its place. The roar of the beast Visser 3 had become made the ground shake. I covered my ears with my hands. My teeth rattled from the sound. I heard someone whimpering. It was...
There he is!
Okay.
All right. And you're on.
You're on the... You're there.
Hey, I can
hear you. But I do need to call. Just to make sure.
All right. Formal apology from me for CJ.
Formal apology from me for Kyle.
Formal apology from me from everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and back
I'm listening. I'm listening to you guys.
All right.
You better watch it, okay?
All right, we're cutting
you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And
he's scarier than Visser 3 right now.
Okay, yes, I know. Where are we? Oh, yes, I heard someone whimpering. It was me.
That has to be awkward. Who is that guy whispering? Oh, never mind.
Visithri had become a monster that made the Hork-Bajir and the Taxons look like harmless toys.
Which is a hard thing to do.
He reached out with one thick tentacle and grabbed the Andalite by the neck.
That wasn't a sound effect. I moved the mic. No. No, no!
I heard Cassie whispering over and over again.
No, 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 no! Don't look.
Rachel told her. She put her arm around Cassie's shoulder and held her close. Then she reached for Tobias and took his hand. There you go, Christine. Hawkward. Tobias. Oh, yeah, that is kind
of awkward. That is kind of awkward.
But it's not awkward yet.
Not, well, we don't want to give away the secret. So right. Whenever you hear like a tense moment between Tobias and Rachel where there's definitely a thing, that's a awkward moment. And you'll understand
not yet, though.
Why.
It's not awkward yet. It's
well,
only
it's
awkward.
It's
going to
be.
The
awkward.
H gets added later.
You know what? We're giving it away.
Okay.
Let's continue.
Okay. I guess you never really know someone until you see them scared. And even Bill Cosby said the same thing.
Weird.
And remember in his stand-up comedy, Bill Cosby himself.
You're right.
He was just ripping.
No,
it
off no, no, no. It was in a record. It was a record. Okay, my bad. It was the Fat Albert sketch. And even scared to death, with tears running down her face, Rachel had strength to spare. Visser 3 lifted the Andalite straight up in the air, tearing him from the grasp of the Hork-Bajir. The Andalite prince struck again and again with his tail, but each strike was like a pinprick against such a creature. Visser 3 held the Andalite high in the air, and then Visser 3 opened his mouth wide.
Chapter 6.
Two voices. Okay. I don't know what came over me right then. I had been so afraid, so terrified, but it was like something just snapped in my head. I couldn't just hide and watch. I couldn't.
You filthy!
I jumped to my feet. I snatched up a piece of rusted iron pipe from the ground and started to climb over the wall.
Oh. For Scotland!
I guess I just went crazy or something. It had to be craziness, because there was no way that I alone, armed with a piece of pipe, was going to accomplish anything.
No!
The Andalite's silent cry made me hesitate. I felt Marco's hand grab at my shirt and pulling me back. Tobias and Marco held me down. Rachel put her hand over my mouth. I was trying to scream or curse or something.
Shut up, you idiot!
Marco hissed.
You're gonna get us all killed! Jake, don't!
Cassie put her hand on my cheek.
He doesn't want you to die for him. Don't you realize? He's dying for us.
It's the Andalite! Jesus!
Oh, there it is!
Oh, right there, people!
We can take some calls on that if there's any comments.
Coupled with an awkward moment.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. That's a double-decker!
Oh, man.
Jeez, that's our favorite right there. It's like portraying aliens as the next savior. It's crazy. Anyway, we probably shouldn't talk about that on the air, especially right now, because Corbin's still listening.
Oh, it's fine.
I don't think so.
That's fine.
Well, if anybody's offended by the fact that we just called an alien Jesus, please call in. Actually.
A metaphor. Yeah. It was a metaphor.
It was, but we still did it.
Metaphor.
Continuing.
You did it.
You made me.
No,
you're going
didn't.
To offend people now.
Okay.
I'm sorry, my bad.
I shoved... Oh, no, wait. You're the one reading.
Where am I? I shoved Marco and Tobias away angrily, but I was in control of myself again. I peeked over the wall again. The Andalite prince was helpless in the grasp of Visser 3. I saw him held high in the air. I saw Visser 3 open his monstrous gaping jaws. I saw the Andalite fall into that open mouth. The mouth closed, the teeth ripped the Andalite apart, and the Andalite, Prince Elfangor, Shamtul.
Oh, come on,
died.
Read that again. This
Serenial Shamtul. These were...
And
we got a caller.
I'm sorry.
You're on Animorphs.
I'm offended by everything.
Hi, caller.
Hey, caller. No, seriously, my bad.
Yeah, it's your use of metaphors very offensive.
Okay, I'll keep it under control and make CJ not make me do it.
Okay, well, have fun.
Okay, we'll try.
Bye.
How do you like the rest of the show?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
All right.
That's amazing.
All right, see
bye, Chris. You cut him off.
I cut him off. I'm sorry.
Wait, he's still on.
We're
now.
Still learning.
Oh, yes.
My bad.
Are you still there, Chris? Oh, nope, he's not.
That's
there
a great
go.
Sound effect.
Oh, that's
right
awkward.
There.
Hey, idea.
Oh, yeah. Where am I? Oh, you're making me reread his name again.
Yeah.
Elfangor Siriniel Shamtul died.
Pause.
Of silence. No, silence.
I'm sad.
Okay, sorry. Silence. At the very end, he cried out. His cry of despair was in our heads. His cry will always be in our heads. Well, I'm changing into Shatner as we speak. My God, it's amazing. Okay, the Hork-Bajir controller began making a huffing sound like...
Now, these guys are Scottish.
Yeah, they're kind of scary.
Yeah, we decided they're going to be Scottish.
They're Scottish. Maybe they were laughing or applauding. The tax on controllers
rushed. You can take our land, but you can't take our freedom.
And such... Those are the taxons. Maybe they were laughing or applauding. The taxon controllers rushed forward and crowded around Visser 3. They seemed to be stretching up toward him, and then I saw why. A piece of the andalite fell from the Visser's jaw, and the nearest taxon greedily gobbled it up.
Tobias
turned away and covered his face with his hands. Cassie had tears streaming from her eyes. So did I. God, I need to look at periods. Jeez. I heard a sound that was strange because it was so normal. It was laughter. Human laughter. The humans. The human controllers. Because that's what they were. Were laughing.
We have done it.
Ouch.
Ouch. Okay. We're laughing. Like they were at some kind of a show. For a moment, it seemed to me that one of those laughing voices was somehow familiar, like I'd heard it before.
Foreshadowing,
yeah.
Pay attention.
That's the number 4 with shadowing after it.
That's S-H-A-D-O-W. Anyway.
Then
the sound was swallowed up in the huffing of the Hork-Bajir. Oh, that's pretty good. You should do that more often. Visser 3 morphed out of his monstrous form, and slowly regained his andalite body. I heard him think.
Nothing like a good Ontarian bog maw for taking a bite out of your enemies.
Or crime.
Oh, yeah.
I never noticed that before. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I think I made a McGruff reference when we first did this. McGruff was awesome.
For those that didn't
McGruff,
know
you know, Mr.
Take,
Yuck. Where's
take
Mr.
A
Yuck
bite
these
out
days?
Of crime.
Yeah, where's Mr. Yuck? These and Smokey.
Smokey the Bear. He was my favorite.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
And such. Where are we? Oh, again, the human controllers laughed, and the Hork-Bajir controllers huffed.
Huff.
Oh.
Marco started throwing up. It was an understandable thing to do, but somehow that sound caught the attention of the nearest Hork-Bajir. The snake had turned. He was perfectly still. We were perfectly still. The Hork-Bajir turned toward us. The near-sighted eyes were aimed directly at our little hiding place. I don't know who panicked first. Maybe it was me. Maybe we just had all the fear and horror we could stand. It was like an electric shock went through all of us. We were running before I had a chance to even know what I was doing. I ran. I gasped for air. He's out of shape. A cry went up from the Hork-Bajir.
Split up!
I yelled.
They can't follow all of us!
Marco and Tobias and Cassie took off in 3 different directions. Rachel was still right beside me. Glancing back, I saw the Hork-Bajir hesitate, unsure of who to chase.
Nice! I forgot I had that!
Okay. Where are we? I guess Rachel thought the same thing. She slowed down just a little and began yelling and waving her arms. Come on! Come on, you!
Oh, that's my line.
Sorry.
Come on! Come on, you!
Wow, that's a gruffy Rachel.
I mean, come on! Come on, you!
Nice. And then she said some words I didn't realize Rachel even knew.
Yeah!
And we get out of swearing on the air. Thank you, K.A. Applegate. You're the best. Thumbs up in the air.
Okay. Oh, boy. We have some Scottish.
The two nearest Hork-Bajir snapped around and took off after us.
Gafrash here. Gafrash fit. Enemy. Get...
I don't know. It's okay. It's a work in progress.
All right. Where is it?
That one right there.
Gafrush here.
There we go.
Gafrush fit enemy.
Get. Yes. That was awesome. Anyone wants to call it and tell Matt Tongue that he is a stud, do it.
Go ahead. You know you want to.
Now okay. Barbara's
that was amazing.
Call
oh, that. Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. That's
a stud is a male dog.
Bull.
Yeah, it is, actually.
And bull.
Not a dog.
Stud. Yeah, stud bull.
It's a dog.
I thought it was like a male horse that's used for breeding.
Horse or bull. I didn't know about dogs.
Well, anyway, breeding.
The more you know.
The more we pretend to know. Even in my panic, it surprised me.
Do not quote us. Oh, play the disclaimer. It's in show sounds.
Yeah, this is very important.
It's right there on the screen.
Going.
Gosh, you're not very quick.
I don't have touch screen at home.
Oh. Disclaimer.
The thing right,
says,
here we go.
Any views or opinions expressed in interviews or commentary are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KUP, its parent, or any of its affiliates or employees, including the individual speaking. Any views or opinions expressed in interviews or commentary are those of the individual speaking and do
it's
not necessarily
done.
Represent
it's
the views or opinions of KUP, its parent.
Okay. There we go.
Find a caller!
All right. You're on.
You're on the air.
You are a stud.
Thank you.
Who is this?
This is Aaron.
Yes! Before he could let us know.
Yep.
What a smart guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Where are we? Oh, yes.
Gavroche, here.
Matt,
do it.
Gavroche, here. Gavroche.
No, we're here.
Next one. He's doing it right.
What? Oh, I see.
Bottom one.
Gavroche beat Nahar. I get a kill.
I kind of
went
weird. I
ran. Awesome.
Suddenly, my foot slammed something, and I was down. I hit the ground hard.
Bam.
The wind was knocked out of me.
That was an explosion.
I tried to fill my lungs again. Rachel ran on. She didn't know I had fallen. Wow.
Wow, she's not a very big team player.
A spear of red light struck a concrete pipe just behind me. The concrete vaporized. The two Hork-Bajir were... The concrete vaporized. The two Hork-Bajir were coming after us, bounding like some devil kangaroos. I was up and running. Rachel must have realized I wasn't with her anymore. She stopped and started to come back toward me.
Don't be an idiot!
I yelled, run! She hesitated just a second, but she knew she couldn't do anything for me. She ran. I saw a dark hole ahead and raced towards it. A doorway. Inside it was inside it was as black as a grave. It was one of the buildings that... buildings! And caller.
This is Animorphs.
Hey, how's it going? This is Luke.
Hey,
CJ, I have a question.
Yes.
Could I have one of your little pineapple fruit cups that you have in your
Oh, come on, Luke. At least ask a question about the books.
Well, he's
I don't have a question about the book. I just want to know if I can I'm hungry.
You can have some pineapple if you answer a question about the book.
What?
If you ask a question about the book.
I have to ask a question about the book?
Yeah. No, he doesn't have to he has to ask a question.
Ask
Continue.
A question, sorry.
Huh?
One question about the book, and you get your pineapple.
Oh, okay.
The pressure is on.
Dum, 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 dum,
huh?
The pressure's on.
Dum, 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 dum.
I can't hear what you're saying.
The pressure is on. Just ask a question.
Huh?
Just ask a question.
Let's see.
Any question, dude.
how far away do the Andalites live, or whatever they're called?
Billions of light years, so far away that we won't even see them in our lifetime.
But tune into when we do the Andalite Chronicles and you might find out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yes. Enjoy your pineapple, Luke.
It was a very good
question. Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
Ladies
DJ.
And gentlemen,
I appreciate it.
Luke Steger, give him a hand at home. Give him a hand. There we go.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. I hope Doty's listening in. Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah. That would make my day. He should call in. If we could get him to call in, I'd be so excited.
I'd cry, actually.
Murdy would be awesome, too.
But he's not going to
call.
He's not.
No, he won't. Okay, continue.
Okay, where are we? Run, blah, 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 Marco, Rachel.
Intense scene, ducking.
It was like a maze.
There we go.
Okay, that's wrong. A doorway. Inside it was as black as a grave.
Luke, you only get one pineapple cup.
There's a few seconds delay, so he'll already have eaten your entire stock.
I know. Ed, you don't get one either. You have to call in.
It was as black as a grave. It was one of the buildings that had almost been completed. Just bare concrete walls and a scattered junk. But I knew I had been in here before. Marco and I had walked all through it. There were hallways and little side rooms. It was like a maze. Marco, Rachel, had they gotten away? And what about Cassie and Tobias?
Cassie.
I tried to get my brain to concentrate as I scurried across the first big room. There was a corridor somewhere. I groped in the dark and found a wall. I heard the sound of claw-like feet. Huge, tearing, rending claw feet scraping over the bare concrete. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. A bottle went skittering across the floor. The Hork-Bajir was close! And in the total darkness, my superior human vision wasn't much use. But I knew my way around the empty building. Oh, come on, it was another line.
All right.
Let me slide. At least I would have known my way around if my brain had been working. I felt my hand go into emptiness. A doorway, yes. It led down a hallway. I went through.
All right.
Don't forget to do our little animorphs.
All right.
This is Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
You're on the air.
Hello, this is Dr. Azizi Nan. I was just calling to, I'm listening to your radio program.
Yes!
And I think it is very good. I mean, my God, I've never heard such a good radio program before.
Yes!
I visited your Facebook webpage, and I think it is very, 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 very good.
Thank you, Inan.
I hope you have done the circuit homework, and I will see you in class, so go keep up the good work.
Okay.
Actually, I have some questions on the signals and systems homework, but I'll see you in class.
Okay, that is fine.
All right.
My God!
Thanks, Dr. Inan.
Bye, Dr. Inan. Oh, that was awesome.
That's got to be like fraud or something.
Oh.
That was awesome!
That was amazing.
All right, so if Aziz Inan ever finds out, that wasn't us, that was Luke Steger.
Let's give him another big hand. That was... Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
The Hork-Bajir was close, and in the... I went through just as the light came on behind me. Someone had brought a flashlight.
If not the Tarfalia, not fit. Whatever order.
Damn it. That's not right.
No, capture them. Whoever you find, kill.
The first human... the first voice had been Hork-Bajir. The second voice was human. And the weird thing was, that voice sounded familiar. I tried to think. I knew I'd heard that voice somewhere. Where?
Just the head.
What? You mean...
Just save the head.
The human told the Hork-Bajir.
Bring that to me and we can identify it.
I slid quickly along the wall. The light followed just steps behind me. I racked my brains. Had there been a passageway? Yes, there it was! As silently as I could, I slipped into it. The flashlight beam was just inches behind me. I kicked something soft.
Hey!
It was a man. He had been lying on the ground wrapped in a blanket.
Hey, get out of here! This is my place! I ain't got nothing for you to steal!
I started to warn him, but one of the Hork-Bajir was there. Couldn't do anything.
No,
the flashlight landed on the homeless man's face. I realized he was an unimportant character, and I knew he would die. He blinked like an owl.
Okay, continue.
There was an alcove.
Okay, let me point out that there was an alcove, because as many people who know me, I enjoy alcoves, and I like to make them in my room. Ask Ed Kendrick sometime. They're probably all making fun of me now. Let us continue.
All right. Right behind me. I backed through. The homeless guy screamed.
God,
maybe the guy...
I hoyed a scuffle.
I hoyed the sound of a scuffle. Maybe the guy got away. Gosh, I hope so. But he died and not me. Hooray! That wasn't in there. I just made that up. But
Truman number five.
But I never found out. Because the Hork-Bajir... But with the Hork-Bajir distracted, I ran.
I ran.
And as I ran, I really hoped it was all just a dream.
Okay, we gotta move here.
Yeah, we're only on chapter 7, and we've got 15.
Chapter 7.
Actually, hold on. We forgot to say, you're listening to KDUP
1580
AM.
Also found at kdup.up.edu. You can call us at 503-943-7121. Give him the microphone.
Or extension 7121. Or you can email us
at animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
Kohler's listening. Don't tell him he broke anything. He didn't break anything.
I just temporarily disconnected it from the stand.
Yes, it's just not being held up by the stand.
It's fixable. I'll just hold it for now.
Okay. Anyways.
All right. Am I doing voices?
Yeah, you can do voices.
All right.
Somehow I made it home. I don't know how. I have no memory of anything after that sight of that last Hork-Bajir. I wish I had no memories of anything that happened that night. If only I could forget it all. Ellipsis. I called around to the others. Everyone was shaky, but they were all alive. Rachel kept trying to apologize for leaving me. Marco just kept asking me if I was sure this wasn't a dream. I guess I should have had the worst nightmares of my life that night, but I didn't. The world of nightmares was a joke compared to my new reality. But by the next morning, a Saturday, I half believed, if it had been a nightmare, the only thing that seemed real, really real, was the way the headlight had of smiling with just his eyes. Why are we in the woods right now?
No, we're not in the woods. It's the morning birds.
It's the morning birds. It's an idol for those people
with a woodpecker.
Yes.
I woke when my mom started pounding on the door.
Jake, are you awake in there?
I was now.
Yeah.
I groaned.
I'm up. Your friend Tobias is here. Tobias?
Oh,
What?
What was Tobias doing here?
We got 10 minutes to get done with this part, and it's my favorite.
Oh. It's me.
Tobias's voice.
Can I come in? Sure.
I sat up in my bed and blinked several times, trying to get my eyes unglued. The door opened. I heard Tobias say thank you to my mom. He was glowing. I swear. He swore. He was glowing. Not like he was radioactive or anything. I don't mean that. It's just that his eyes were shining bright, and his face was one big grin, like Luke Steger after he's had one beer.
Oh no, you did not.
Come on, we've worked so hard to practice not saying stupid stuff like that.
Oh, man, CJ, you ruined it.
Luke's laughing.
Yeah, he's the only one. Continue.
No, Mike and Ed are laughing, too, and anyone that knows Luke Steger.
Right, from now on, we leave mean things set up. They can't hear me anyway.
And alcohol, too. Yeah, don't bring alcohol into it, and they can kind of hear you.
Kids,
okay, I'll just yell louder.
Don't use alcohol. Except rubbing alcohol.
No, CJ, you're not.
You guys
to
get
talk.
To share.
What? They get, like, hurt.
All right, this is horrible. We need to get done with the scene.
Okay. All right. Ba-dum-bum-bum. One big grin, and he seemed to be tingling with energy.
Right.
Bouncing.
Bouncing like he couldn't stand still.
I did it.
Tobias said. I'm sorry. I tried to get my hair to go in one direction by raking my fingers through it.
Did who? Sorry. What are you talking about?
I was yawning when he answered.
I became Dude.
I stopped yawning. My mouth actually snapped shut. Dude is Tobias's cat.
Huh?
Tobias glanced around like there might be spies in the room.
I became Dude. Just like the Andalite said.
I just stared.
It was so amazing. It didn't hurt or anything. I was petting him and thinking about the whole thing last night, right? So I thought, why not give it a try?
He was pacing back and forth, snapping his fingers, bursting with enthusiasm. Very unlike Tobias.
I didn't even know how to begin, so I just made sure the door to my room was locked. Fortunately, my uncle was still asleep.
Tobias had the most screwed up family I know.
Pity points.
Yep, I never knew who was his father. And his mom just decided to leave him a few years ago. Since then, he'd been shuttled back and forth between his uncle here and his aunt, who lives on the other coast. His aunt and his uncle can't stand each other, and it's like Tobias is some sort of burden they each try to shove off on the other. I get the feeling neither of them cares about Tobias.
So there I was, just sitting on my bed thinking about it, concentrating, thinking about becoming Dude. I looked down at my hand.
He grinned at me.
What do you think I saw, Jake?
I shook my head slowly.
I don't know. I had fur, Jake.
Oh, my God.
And I was growing claws. You should have seen the real Dude. He went nuts. I had to put him outside before I could morph all the way. I can't do cat noises. He clawed me up pretty good.
Tobias stuck a sliced finger in his mouth. I swallowed hard. Okay, this was definitely crazy now.
Tobias, is it possible you maybe just dreamed all this? Not a dream.
He said... Now he was serious Tobias again. The grin was gone.
It's all true, Jake.
All of it.
All of it.
Oops. We'll turn that off for a second. Put it on mute, Kyle. Gosh. His eyes met mine. I knew what he was saying. He had tried to pretend it was all a nightmare, too, but it was real. I looked away. I didn't want to start believing it and had all been real. I wanted it to...
All safe.
I wanted it all safely stored away in my head. Just another bad dream. Bad dreams should stay in your head, not come jumping out into real life.
I just kept concentrating on changing.
Tobias said.
And in a few minutes, I was not myself anymore.
His eyes bored in on me.
You have no idea what it's like, Jake. Being a cat is so... I can't even describe it. You're so strong, for one thing. Just all this coiled power and the way you can move. You know what I did? I jumped onto my dresser, 3 feet straight up in the air, and I landed like a feather. 3 feet. You know how high that is when you're a cat? It's like a person jumping maybe 30 feet straight up.
He stopped suddenly and looked at me.
You don't believe me, do you?
He said.
Look, Tobias, it's just that sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between something real and something you're just imagining or dreaming. You think I'm crazy?
I considered for a moment.
I don't know, Tobias. Let's review the facts. You say you turned into your own pet cat. Turned into an actual cat. Yeah, I'd have to say that sounds crazy to me.
Tobias nodded thoughtfully. Mm-hmm. He gave a little smile.
Mm-hmm. I understand, Jake. You still don't want it to be true. What? You mean...
Called an out!
Yeah.
You mean, do I want to believe that you can change yourself into a cat? And all the rest of it? Do I want to believe that Earth is being invaded by slimy slugs who live in people's brains and turn them into slaves? Do I want to believe that... Duh! No, I don't want to believe any of it.
He asked in a quiet voice. I hesitated. I don't know why, but I didn't want to just pretend the Andalite away. Tobias put his hand on my arm.
Stand right there. What? What are you going to do? I'm going to help you decide whether it's real or not. Tobias, just wait a second. Don't scream or anything.
So I waited. For a few seconds, nothing happened. Tobias just stood there. I glanced at his face, his eyes. His eyes were different. The pupils weren't completely round anymore. I swear there was a reflective greenish light in them. And his mouth was protruding a little, puffing out. He was shrinking, growing smaller right before my eyes. The neck of his shirt was loose. His pants started scrunching up at the ankles. He was shriveling, and at the same time, fur, yes, fur, began to grow on his hands and neck and face. It was gray, striped with black, just like dudes. I had this absurd desire to start giggling. Tobias was becoming a tabby cat. But I knew if I started giggling, I'd just keep on and never, ever be able to stop. Tobias was more cat than human now. The pointed ears rose atop his head. The whiskers stuck straight out from beneath his delicate pink nose. He had dropped to all fours, clothing now half-draped over him, like so many rags. His tail twitched. Yes, his tail. I wondered if I would just drop dead from the lump that had filled my throat, or from the jackhammer pounding of my heart. Then I wondered if I was still asleep. But it was a dream. It was a really convincing one. But if it was a dream, it was a really convincing one. I was standing there in my bedroom, staring down at a gray-black cat that less than 2 minutes earlier had been my friend Tobias. End of chapter. Music.
That's awkward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah, even you. Thank you, little Miss Cheerful. Oh, I have a very bad feeling about this.
So that's the end of the 2 hours of Animorphs. Hope you enjoyed listening. We're going to take some callers now if we have any out there. It's you're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or kdup.up.edu, and you can call us at 503-943-7121. Or if you're on campus, extension
7121.
So do we have any callers out there? We have Matthew Tung checking the email right now.
We really would like to hear your input.
Yeah, it would be pretty awesome. How we did.
From my mom.
Oh, nice. Matthew Tung got 4 emails from his mother.
I'm his mother.
If we have any parents that want to call in too, that would be awesome.
My parents don't know it exists.
Oh. Don't call. Do not call.
Okay.
I think that would be awesome. So,
anyway,
get to your phone 7121.
Or if you're listening off campus, 943 or 503-943-7121.
You're listening to The Sound of Portland. And we're just going to keep talking until we get one call.
Yeah.
Because we've got a few minutes to spare.
All right, so let's espouse some of our theories.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
All right, Kyle, why don't you espouse the first one?
Well, I don't know about you, but my favorite part of the book so far is the connections between all of the main characters. It's just so sweet.
Oh my gosh, you're so stupid.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, huh?
It's so there.
Dude, this is seriously like middle school tension to the extreme. I wish we had a tension meter in the studio so we could watch it just rise.
Yeah.
And that's the sound of it rising.
Most of the tension occurs between the main characters, Jake and Cassie, and also the characters Tobias and Rachel. Why do you feel that Marco does not have any romantic tension?
Because he's the comic relief. You'd get disgusted with him.
In terms of Galaxy Quest, he's the plucky comic relief.
Ooh, the plucky.
Oh, plucky, yes. And a little
it's the simple things in life we treasure, you know.
All right, how about some of K.A.'s writing style?
Yeah.
What do you think of the word the repetition of the word Lance? What is that?
We heard it once, but we're going to hear it a lot more.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of Lancing yet.
But there is Lancing is a good, lot though. Of Lancing.
All right, well, Lancing. What's the significance of the word Lance?
Lancing.
I don't know.
Lancing.
It does sound good.
It does.
Well, you know, it does. You would lance a boil.
Well, exactly what do lasers do, you know? Can you say they lasers shot out? That's not very dramatic.
You can't say they lasered either, because that would be defining something with its definition.
It's true.
I like the word lance because, you know, lancing has a very healing quality, like you would lance a boil, for example. But Well,
did anybody else get that picture?
I got that picture.
It's nasty, but it's good overall. So lanced in that way is like warfare is very cleansing in that sense. Or it could refer to the old lance like you would ride on a horse and joust with. And it's got a very archaic, weapon-y sense.
The new Zelda for the Wii.
Weird.
I'm just saying.
So maybe K.A. was foretelling Nintendo games. Yeah, I'm sure that's very likely.
Well, anyway, talking about video games.
I'm really happy we stopped where we are because I know this is my favorite part of the whole book besides the end, but I'm not going to tell you anything about that. This is awesome. One of the guys in the group of guys and girls just morphed into a cat.
How cool is that?
Yeah. That's the only thing I'd morph into is a cat. You know what they do? They just lie around all day and look awesome.
So we're going to pretty much leave you on pins and needles about what's going to happen next week, but just so you know, there's going to be a lot of morph acquiring, I got to say. There's going to be some morph acquiring, and we're going to have some awesome battle scenes. Although we're not sure if we're going to get to that next week. This might be a trilogy book.
Just picture it.
It's going to be awesome.
5 kids walking around in an amusement park / zoo with the power to acquire morphs.
And eat trash.
Yes. Because they do that.
Sometimes. In the right morph.
So, since everyone out there is kind of lame right now and doesn't want to call
the
station.
Actually, I think they probably quit at the end of the song.
They probably did, but we had quite a few calls. And keep them coming. Tell your friends if you enjoyed what you heard
on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
Although it was kind of censored because Corbin.
Yeah, Corbin's got us censored. Dang it, we got to stop.
Oh, and my mom says that a stud is a male horse.
Who is correct? Oh. That would be Kyle Meckling.
I'm looking up the dog too.
You know what?
It is.
You know what? I think I'm.
It is a dog.
No, I think there's stud bulls. I've read it somewhere.
Okay, well, anyways, we're going to turn on the random CD changer here.
So you guys can listen to what you wanted to listen to in the first place,
exactly,
which is music.
Music.
After our show.
After our show, but tell your friends. Oh, and tune into the Good Music Show right before this with Ben Panther.
Ormond.
Ormond. It's Panther.
No, it's Ormond.
Okay, it's Ormond. Well, I feel awkward.
Man, you're stupid.
I am stupid. I'm promoting this guy's show. And I don't know his name.
So tune into that.
All right. And that would be at, kdup.up.edu online or 1580 AM if you're listening in the Portland area. Nobody's going to call in, but you can
tune
call
in next week
for Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Kyle.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Awesome.
Okay.
We're out, guys.
Until next Sunday, 10 o'clock, same place, same time. We'll see you right here on KDUP.
We can't tell you where we're from. It's too risky. The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah. Even you.
I'm a waste. The place is here like this.
What is it?
Thank you, little Miss Cheerful.
Oh, I have a very bad feeling about this.
Ooh.